Are you searching for a deeper understanding of yourself and your place in the world? Do you yearn for more balance, more peace, and purpose in your life? Well, look no further than the Intuitive Revolution Podcast, your trusted source for holistic insights and intuitive guidance. I'm your host, Alicia Ferricelli, and I am ready to take you on a journey to inner peace and balanced well-being. Jose Madsen
is a shining example of what's possible when it comes to love, career, and living your best life, no matter the age. At the age of 45, she achieved remarkable success, not only in love, but also in the delicate art of balancing love and career. Her journey is one of inspiration, having built a multi-six-figure yoga studio and wellness oasis at 52 and a successful life coaching business at 53, while experiencing a flourishing love life simultaneously. Josie's story is a testament to the fact that you can have it all even later in life, a thriving career, a deeply fulfilling love life, and living your best life. Thanks, Jose, for coming out today. Super excited to talk to you about your self-love coaching, all the incredible things that you have going on. You have such an incredible journey that you've laid out, especially what some people call the latter part of our lives, but I call it just we're getting started. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Well, thank you for having me. I'm super, super pumped about this.
Awesome. Well, your journey to becoming a self-love coach and life mentor is so truly inspiring. Can you share what motivated you to focus on empowering women over 40 and how your personal experiences have shaped your coaching philosophy?
Well, for many years, well, since I'm a kid, I've always been considered a very strong person. You know, I remember being as young as 10, asking my mom, you know, I'd like a bicycle. And she's like, well, we can't really afford it. And I'm like, oh, of course we can, you know, and I started a babysitting company. And next thing you know, I was able to buy my bicycle. So for me, you know, my mom always said, you're so strong, you know, you're so strong. And I know that she never meant bad from that. But for me, I saw it that I couldn't be vulnerable. I had to continue to have these inner pressures and really go with what society expected of what a strong woman was. And that was throughout my teenage years. That was throughout my adulthood. And I've been successful, but at the cost of my health, because I was putting so much pressure on myself for, well, trying to be everything to everybody. And I couldn't, I just could not. And it wasn't until I was 41 that I chose to break free from that limiting belief and to truly align with what my heart wanted, what it desired, to who I truly was. I knew I was a strong person, but I wanted to use my strength in the right way, despite different opinions, you know? And so that's how my journey began at 41. Was like, okay, I'm done. I got to do this something different because it's just not going to work out.
Yeah.
For me, you know, I built a lot of resentment because it wasn't nobody's fault. It was the inner pressures that I was putting on myself that I have to be this way. I should be this way. I should be doing this, or I should be this to that person, or, you know, I thought that that's what a strong woman did, but I was a little bit on the wrong path.
Yeah. It's amazing how strong women, they tend to be too strong and break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's hard for us to admit that.
Oh yeah.
Because as strong women, we're not supposed to break. We're supposed to know how to deal with stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And that was I was stuck in that loop. I want to get out, but I don't know who to tell it to or who to share it with because they all believe I'm superwoman. Mm-hmm. And if I tell them, then I'm going to look like I'm, you know, a weak person. And I can't let that happen. You know, what are they going to do with me who's falling apart? I'm the one that's holding them up.
Yeah.
You know?
You say that. It's like, we have to have our masculine portions of ourselves. I preach a lot about feminine and masculine energies.
Yeah.
Our masculinity, like we live in such a masculine society that we all have to be strong. And so in order for women to feel like they have to fit in, they have to put on this masculine hat and act like a man at times to push through. Fortunately, things are starting to change over and people are starting to realize with help of people like yourself, they're starting to come to grips of like, we can't keep functioning like this.
Mm-mm. No. And that happened to me at 41. And everything after that just kind of like, wow, you know. So I went through different layers of learning and growing and falling on my butt, coming back up. And, you know, but that I've learned over the years that my failures are the moments where I've learned more about myself. You know, because it taught me about resilience. It taught me about who I truly was. Like, I just knew, you know, that I was going to be okay. So yeah, it was a pretty amazing journey.
Yeah. It's like your failures taught you that you're strong.
Yeah. As opposed to not failing, thinking I'm strong, that I can't fail, but failing showed me my strength, the right strength. Does that make sense?
It makes sense in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
It's like the makes complete opposite. When we think we're doing something so right, but really doing it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And then when we stop and we fail at that way, we find out the right way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I realized over the years that I've had that since I've been a kid. I'm a thought leader. I think very differently. And I remember having conversations even as a child saying something and people would be like, what are you talking about? Like, no, that's not how it goes. But I would get them to think things differently. Yeah. And I hid that from my strengths for many years for fear of being rejected or not fitting in. And then I'm like, no, I can't do that. This is who I am. You know, that's my responsibility now to do is to teach people to think differently. That's my job. No, you know, I didn't have any children. I got married late in my life because now I'm seeing that's my job. That's my purpose, to teach people how to think differently so they can break free from society's expectations or our, like I said, our own inner pressures.
Yeah. There's so many of those.
Yes, ma'am.
So the spiritually smarter, SMARTER for those listeners, trademark, self-love path is a unique approach. Can you elaborate on the 6 steps of this guide and how it empowers individuals to lead a heart-centered life?
So this is so fun. This path I've been living for over 15 years, and it was born in a way that I'm a very high achiever. And you probably have known, the whole world knows about the SMART method, right?
Right.
That people use about, you know, goal setting.
Yeah.
I used to do that all the time. Okay, I got to do this. This is my goal. I got to go there and do that. And it's timely and da, 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 da. And it put so much stress on me. So when I started growing, like working on my self-growth, my high achieving mode was kicked in, and I said, I gotta work smarter, not harder. And I know the saying smarter, not harder is also out there. But then I thought, smarter. I'm smarter. Spiritually, I'm smarter. And I'm focusing on self-love. So how can I recreate the smarter goal setting into more of a spiritual path? And so I'm healing myself through my journey of, you know, sobriety and releasing my limiting beliefs, starting to believe in myself that I'm a thought leader and I need to let people know I'm thinking this way. Maybe I'm not the only one. Who else is thinking like me, you know? And so it's a 6-step guide to living a heart-centered life. So real quick, step one, S is for self first. So I'm teaching you how to tap into yourself. So for me, myself is my inner wisdom. Some people may call it God. Some people may call it, you know, the universe. I call it self. I also call it my CSO, my chief spiritual officer, because every morning I have a meeting with it to show me what am I supposed to do today?
Yeah.
So S is for self first. And I teach my clients on how to really tap into their heart and understand that there is something bigger there that knows you. And it's been there since you were born. Because when we're born, we've got this sense of excitement and we've got dreams and aspirations and we want to be like, woohoo, you know, we just feel like the whole world is everything's possible. But as we grow up, which I have another theory on about on that, but as we grow up, we tend to forget that, because living through the heart is not really responsible. It's more artistic. It's not something, you know, you got to think with your head. So the self first step is really, really important for you to realize, you know what, I think I do have that light. So once we acknowledge that, the step two is M stands for moving from I to self. So the I, in this case, I refer to as our ego, our everyday thought, because that's how we live. You know, we don't live listening to the self. Very seldom do we, you know, we say, I this, I that, I feel like this, I think this, I think that, I've got to go to work, I've got to get married, I got to have kids. So all of that for me in my world is ego driven, because we are taught to think about our life, not to feel, you know, and for me, feel is self. So we learn to move from, you know, deciphering what is the ego and what is the self? Where is it coming from? You know, how can I recognize it? And then step three is A for accessing the self. So through meditation, recognizing the subtle nudges of the self, like intuition, or, you know, I'll talk about this later, but coincidences or a thought that pops in your mind. This is yourself talking, but yeah. Usually we're like, oh, this is crazy. I can't do that. You know, people will think I'm out of this world, you know? So I teach you how to access yourself through different modules like journaling and meditation and working, you know, one-on-one with my clients. I'm also finishing up on uploading a course on the Smarter Self-Love Path, a self-guided course, so that if people want to do it on their own, they can. So it'll be accessible online as well. Step four is R for receive self-guidance and inspiration. So that teaches you meditation, stillness, really listening to what's in here, because we all have it. That light never left us, never. And I know you know what I mean, but you know, you're saying, yes, I know you know what I mean. I love that, because I'm like, oh my God, she gets it, you know, which is really cool. Step five is take inspired actions. So, you know, you can dream, and the law of manifestation, law of attraction is all good, but there are certain actions that you have to take in order to manifest what's important for you. So what do I do? Well, your heart guides you towards what brings me most joy. What do I feel like it is right for me today? You know, what am I resisting to? What am I afraid of? You know, and so this kind of way of introspection, I guess, for lack of a better word, but it is introspection, where you just really learn to speak from your heart and not just the mind, for yourself and towards the direction that you want to go. You make decisions based on, you know, aligned with yourself. Okay, so step six is the two steps, the E and the R. So the E is finally enjoying your transformation. As high achievers, midlife women, we've got a lot of experience. We've got a lot of wisdom. We love doing the work. We love to get our hands dirty. And we don't really, I know for me, I've never taken a lot of time in the past to really enjoy my achievements and look back and go, holy geez, you know. Even now, I mean, I'm also an entrepreneur. I own a yoga studio in Colombia, and it went from zero, because I built it from scratch, to now is a multi six figure business.
Beautiful.
You know, and I'm like, I did that? Oh, wow. Well, okay, maybe I should celebrate it more, you know. It's
sure.
Really,
that's amazing.
It but to me, I think when people ask me that, I'm like, you know, my CSO guided me towards that, so it never felt like work. So it's not an achievement. I don't see it as an achievement. I see it as my responsibility. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see it as it was work, because it came from my heart. You know, I drive to it in the morning and I'm like, hello, for me today. You know, I'm in a different space that allows my heart to just guide me with so many ideas, you know, and then to really celebrate your wins and understand that the things that, you know, you've learned, you can teach to others, and to enjoy your transformation, who you are, who you were, you know. And then the R stands for repeat. Anytime you have a moment of doubt, go back to tapping into yourself first. Go back to meditating so you can move from your I to yourself. Go back to accessing yourself. Go back to receive self-guidance and intuition. Take action, you know, and then enjoy your transformation. You want another thing? Go back to that. So I've been doing this for 15 years. This is how I found my husband at 45. I had never been married before. I don't have children. I built my business, my yoga studio, I was 52. You know, people retire at 50 or 55 or whatever. And I'm like, oh no, I'm just starting.
You're
just like
what you said earlier. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's basically what the SMARTER acronym means. And it's a spiritual path. And it's not something you join. It's something you live. Because once you start using these steps, you're like, that's a lifestyle. I don't want to untap from that.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that you've broken down the step-by-step and made it almost a super simplest. It's not simplistic. It really is a simplistic concept when you think about it, but you've broken it down to doable steps where people are like,
yes,
I don't know how to meditate. I don't know how to get into doing, they get overwhelmed, but you've literally broke this down into such a doable path.
Mm-hmm. Because the mind doesn't really understand complicated things.
Right.
It just understands I'm hungry. I feel like I need to eat. I think I need to exercise. I'm tired. I need to sleep. You know, I've had courses in the past that I bought and I thought, oh my God, my head's about to explode. And for me, I wanted something simple because I wanted my life to be simple. So that's what came out from my heart. And I'm like, I'm just doing it. And I'm the living proof that it works because I've constantly have those, you know, steps in my mind that to work on.
It's so important when we're teaching as coaches, as leaders, as especially in this spiritual community, practicing what we preach. So that's very refreshing to hear that you actually practice what you preach, because you hear
every morning.
Yeah. So many things going on. So yeah, I personally thank you for that.
Well, thank the universe or God or whatever happened to me. But you know, at one point I just said enough, I surrendered. Yeah. And then the magic happened, you know? So
it's amazing how that happens when you just surrender into something. We have all this death grip control on something, and then we just let go. It's like, oh, there's our answer. It just like magically happened.
Yes, I agree. Because instead of looking for the answer, I think we're tempted to always look at the outcome. And this is different.
Oh, yeah.
Because the answer is what we want it to be. The outcome can be a totally different thing. And we miss it. We miss the boat when we think like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah. I think my favorite phrases is, when you manifest something, putting it out there or something better, or releasing the outcome to how it's going to happen.
Well, I had a client the other day and we were talking about that actually. She's like, well, how do I know how to let go? She's a very high profile person and she's, you know, always into projects and doing things that are pretty important. And she says, when it comes to me, I want to control the outcome and I don't know, like I want it to happen now. And I said, do you shop on Amazon? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay, so let's say you want a pair of shoes. You know what kind of pair of shoes you want. Yeah. Okay. You put it in your cart. So basically what you desire in your life, put it in your universe Amazon cart. It's in there. The universe knows what you desire. You just told it. It's in your cart.
Yeah.
Now, when you shop on Amazon and you complete order, do you go in every 2 minutes to know where your shoes are? No. You know it's going to come at some point. Yeah. So you go back to work, you do you know, go for dinner. And then it says, oh, it'll be here in 3 days. And then next thing you know, you get another email. Oh, it's been delayed, but you're okay with it.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing in the life. You know, you just go for your desire. You'll be led as to what actions to take. And she's so funny. She sends me texts. She goes, I put this on my Amazon, on my universe Amazon cart today. So I'm letting it go.
That is, I love that analogy. I mean, you said that, like, I needed that too.
Well, I mean, think of, again, think of terms. We complicate things.
Yeah.
And I think my job here on this earth is to simplify things.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so, it just makes sense in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, and when people say, oh, I never thought of it that way. Well, it's exactly that way. You know?
Oh. Yeah. I love that. So with over 15 years of sobriety, which is a big deal, by the way, what insights have you gained about self-love and healing through this transformative period? And how do you integrate these insights into your coaching?
So I'm a truth seeker. And I didn't feel like I was living the truth. And I know that the reason why it took so much time for me to embrace who I was is I didn't feel truthful to who I was. And I thought, I can't teach others to do something that I am not ready to acknowledge myself. Like you were saying earlier, practice what you preach.
Right.
And so for me, my sobriety meant seeking the truth of me, you know, stop blaming the world for why I was unhappy, and to start owning my past choices that brought me to where I actually was. It was nobody's fault. I made those choices. You know, I learned to not to forgive myself, but just to understand and accept. I didn't need to forgive. I just needed to accept. Okay, this is what I did. And I'm going to change that. Yeah. I accept what happened and I'm just going to move on from it. I'm not a martyr. I'm not, you know, a victim. I just chose to not be a victim anymore. And one, I use this sentence a lot, you know, in the past, I always thought that life was happening to me, but now life is happening for me.
Oh yeah.
And when I started thinking that way, just, oh my God, I started feeling gratitude for everything I had, you know? And so I had to clear some limiting beliefs. And I had to believe in my inner wisdom, in my inner strength that told me, Jose, you're pretty cool kid. You're good to go. You know, you've got some things that the world needs to hear, and you're good. So move forward. And so what I call self, it knows my biggest gift. It knows my biggest strengths. It knew my purpose, you know, and I just had to let it guide me towards a life that is more aligned to who I truly was. And that's what I teach my clients. Most of my clients are, you know, past 40s, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of questions. Some have kids, some don't. And we're just really tapping into their self, and they're discovering things that, oh my God, I didn't even realize I was still holding on to that, you know? And so my sobriety helps me see things clearly.
Yeah.
I am not foggy. I don't wake up in the morning going, oh, you know, my God, I'm so clear. I've been clear for 15 years. I have nothing that tampers with my ability to make decisions. When I'm afraid because I'm soberly afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need liquid courage to go and speak in front of a group.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say, okay, I'm afraid right now. I'm nervous, but I'm so glad that I'm not using alcohol, that I'm leaning into my fear and just moving forward. That to me is the biggest gift I could have given myself, is to use my own strength to overcome. And that's what I said, you know, your failures are what's going to make you realize learn who you truly are.
Yeah. the more clear headed you can be, the more you're going to tap quickly into that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've mentioned helping clients release limiting beliefs. What are some common limiting beliefs you've encountered, and what type of strategies do you find effective in overcoming them?
So I wrote that down. The number one limiting belief that I encounter most of the time, there's three that I hear all the time, is I'm too old to start over. I'm too old for a happy relationship. Some women that I work with are divorced. Or how can I say no? I'm already knee deep in my stuckness. And so that to me is all about the pride, first of all. And they're not tapped into their heart. They're tapped into the mind, letting them know, don't go there. It'll be too much work.
Too much work. That's the key right mm-hmm. there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so they get stuck in this loop of, well, it's so-and-so's fault that I never did this. I always wanted to dream about doing that. And again, you know, that's what for me, when I did my sobriety journey, was to realize that I can't blame anybody for my choices, you know? And so, another thing, and I wrote this down because I wanted to say it really properly, because I really feel strongly about that. And sometimes I'm like, just go on a tangent. So I believe that it stems from a concept of worthiness. Okay. For me, I don't believe in being worthy. I think worthiness has been taught. I really don't think, and especially with the training that I've received with Rapid Resolution Therapy, we're taught that the mind is like we have a conscious and a subconscious. We do things subconsciously, we do things consciously. And I don't think that we were born to deserve anything. Yeah. We were born to be our full light. But as we grow up, we're being told that we have to do specific things in order to achieve specific things, you know? So I wrote down, it limits our capacity to tap into our full potential because we think we need to do something before achieving greatness. The thing is, if we don't believe that we can succeed, it keeps us playing small. And then it keeps us believing that that's what we deserve. So that is another thought that I've had for a very long time. Even as a kid, I remember my mom would say, well, were you a good girl? What do you mean, was I a good girl? I just want my bicycle. I didn't know I had to do something special to deserve a bicycle. I just asking, what can we do to get the bicycle?
Yeah.
And that implanted in my mind that I guess I'm not a good girl. I guess I have to do something special in order to get this thing that I want, that my heart says, let's go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that we don't realize that we're doing. And I know that I'm going against the grain here. I'm like, people are going to be like, what in the world? Where did she find this lady? But if you really think about it, if you really, really think about it, we were not born to deserve anything. We already have everything.
Right. I agree with you. Yeah.
You know, we're not placed in a good girl, bad girl, because that limits us totally as to what we think we deserve.
Right.
You want something? You have nothing to do to get it. You just find a way to get it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a good girl.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to think that, oh, I can't get married because I've been a bad girl, because, you know, what is it? What is that all about? So that's how I teach my ladies about worthiness, that, hey, let's break that down. And yeah. That's when they go, oh my God, I've been doing this because I want, you know, my desire is for my family to approve of what I've been doing, but really it doesn't bring me joy. And that's when we talk about worthiness, you know? And so I have had and have been working with clients that have immense change and mindset changes because, like, oh my God, why didn't anybody told me this before? I'm like, well, you had to be ready to hear it. You know, people that are going to resist to what we do is because they're just not ready to hear it. And that's okay. We all have different seasons, you know?
Yeah. So. Absolutely. The stuff that's being told to me now in my 40s, at 20s, I wouldn't have received it. Was not ready.
Oh gosh.
I had to go through these lessons and learn worthiness on my own through 20 years of, you know, rejection and mental.
But even chaos. Then, yeah, but even then, when you say, you know, you had to learn worthiness on your own, you were already worthy of
right. I had to learn that I was already worthy. That's what I was getting at. Like, I had to learn that there's something I did to that. You can't really earn worthiness. There's really no thing. It's just thing is worthiness when you think about it. The word doesn't even make sense.
No.
It's like you saying you deserve this because you did something else.
Exactly.
The reward system in schools, you know.
Exactly.
Ingrained from like the time that we're born that we have to earn to have our place in society, to be worthy enough to own a car, worthy enough to have this job, but worthy enough to be in this click at school, worthy enough for grades.
And I suffered from that for a very, very long time. And I, again, you know, it's school, it's family, it's friends, it's work.
Yeah.
You know, are you worthy of that promotion, or are you worthy it's crazy. You know, it just, to me, never really made sense. And I never felt that I could speak up about it because, you know, I didn't feel my voice was strong enough. And I'm like, it's not about having a strong voice. It's just about helping people see things differently to help them break free from their limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually writing a book about the spiritual smarter path. And there's a part in the book where I, again, think differently, that we don't grow up. We grow down.
Okay. So that makes
sense. When we are born connected to ourselves, right? And we see some people that have been had the support since their child, and they became prodigies and became super successful, and they just overcame all the worthiness and the no's, and they just went through this growing up. So they really were into that, you know, and then when passed on, they still remained into greatness. But most of us, we are born with our greatness. But then we start growing down because of society expectations, inner pressures we put on ourselves. Usually around the ages between 35 and 60 is when we start finding, like, who am I? What's my purpose? And at that point, you can either start growing up, or you can continue to grow down and be faced with fear and doubt. And then when you pass on, we always connect to ourselves at some point. This is why, for me, when I've experienced people passing on, they're like split second. They're like, oh my God, I'm free. Well, they're connecting to their self again. They let go of all the inhibitions. They let go of all the expectations, all the inner pressures, and they're reconnecting. So at one point in your life, you do reconnect to who you truly are. That's how I see it. Anyway, I don't know. It makes a lot of sense in my mind. And I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only one who's thinking like that.
Yeah. And I think as we get older, our tolerance towards things goes down,
mm-hmm.
or as it should.
Mm-hmm.
Tolerance towards what conditioning we've had, you know, throughout childhood, adolescence, young adulthood, middle adulthood, until we hit that certain spot where, like, well, this didn't work for all my 30, 40, 20 years. There's got to be something better. It's got to be a different way.
Yeah. And some people have had the courage to do that leap and start to grow up after 40, you know?
Yeah.
And some people just are like, you know, I said, you know, I'm already knee deep in stuckness. I don't know how to get out of it. And they just continue moving with the motions and feel, well, this is my responsibility. And some people are happy having responsibilities of doing, like some people are born to do, you know, caregivers or they love that. And so it doesn't matter what you do, it's how you feel.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So
the joy that's inside of you, is it make you joyful or not?
Absolutely. And this is why for me, I never feel like I work a lot, you know. But I told my husband the other day, I'm like, it never feels like I'm working, because he's being military. He worked a lot too. But, you know, when he would come home, he's done. That's it. But for me, I could do this 24/7 because it's who I am, you know, and I feel very lucky that I chose not to have children, because I knew there was something more for me. And I'm not saying that children are not more. My path brought me to the responsibility of helping more than a family. It was, I believe that for me, my responsibility is to teach as many people as I can how to break free from their own inner pressures, because I've done it, you know? So.
I love you brought up a great point that you've come to grips with the reason you like being childless, I guess is the phrase, is really a blessing for you. Whereas there's so many people that are, and it's that feel the pressures of they don't want to have children. They're like, it's not called up on them, but they feel the pressure. Mm-hmm. Like you're supposed to have the 2.5 kids with the picket fence and all this stuff. And the perfect husband. And then they put so much pressure on themselves to have that and to find that. And that may not even be their purpose and their path in this life.
Exactly. I was supposed to be married at 24, and I was engaged to be married, and I just knew it was the wrong person. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I really, really can't do this. And I remember one night getting on my then fiance said, okay, so when we get married in September, I want you to be pregnant before so that we can announce that you're pregnant. And I'm thinking, where's that come? No, I knew. And even as a kid, I would say to my sister, well, I'm going to have a business. And my sister was like, I'm going to have 11 children, you know, and she has a beautiful family. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. And so, but for me, it wasn't in the cards. And I remember realizing, okay, I have got to do something. But believe it or not, I was afraid to break up this marriage or this engagement, because my boss then, I used to work in an office, had already bought me my wedding gift, a Julia Child's cooking book. And I was like, I can't break up with him because my boss already gave me my present. And I'm thinking, oh my God, Jose, this is no, you can't think like what in the world, you know? And I remember getting down on my knees. And it was in the middle of the night, and something just touched me here. Like I just felt this heart warmth, and I'm like, and it's almost like it was telling me, I know, you know, you're not supposed to have children and you're not supposed to get married yet. This is not the right time. And it's almost like it asked me, confirm yes, and I'll take care of it. And I remember saying, by tomorrow morning, I'm going to have my answer. And I fell asleep the next morning. I just knew. And I left. I left 4 months before the wedding. Wow. The invitations were bought. The dress was made. The catering. Everything was prepared, ready to go. And I was like, I can't do this. You know?
Yeah. As much money as you spent, you probably saved yourself a lot of money.
Probably. Well, we had spent almost all of it because of the wedding. But I'm like, I don't care. You know?
Yeah.
And I remember my best friend, I called her, I'm like, we're done, come and help me pack. And she showed up with garbage bags and putting all bunch of stuff. And I'm like, I want nothing. What do you mean? I gave you those pillows for your birthday. Those got to come with you. And I'm like, oh, whatever. What best friends do for you, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's not like you just wanted a clean split start. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we talk a little bit about this, but many people find themselves stuck in patterns from the past. What tools or practices do you recommend for those looking to break free and move forward?
For me, what worked and what I see from my clients, positive affirmations. you know, daily meditation to help you calm your mind, especially as we, you know, get older, we think a lot. We're thinking between, you know, whether you have kids or not, we're thinking between what you've done, what's left to do. And so it's hard for us to find that stillness that we need as to what's next. I also use rapid resolution therapy, and that's a method that gets you unstuck from past traumas. Basically, because a lot of times we have stories that are on replay in our subconscious that we don't realize. Mentally, we know we're doing something. Mentally, we know we shouldn't be doing or acting in a specific way, but it's in our subconscious mind that makes us react a certain way. And we don't realize that we're actually doing it, yeah. You know? And so with rapid, we call it RRT, we help and we go into the subconscious mind. And with hypnotherapy and different tactics of talking, bringing them into, you know, their past. And it's really different from psychology or psychiatrists, because I'm not saying, you know, Alicia, tell me how you feel. You know, we're going straight to the mind. So I'll give you an example. As a yoga instructor, we often teach our students, you know, you've got the fight or flight feeling or the rest and digest. Mm-hmm. Fight or flight is like holding your breath, dear Jesus, I got to run.
Yeah.
I'm in danger. Yeah. Or relax, you're like, oh, Friday night after work, sit down on the couch, watch Netflix with your boo, you know, you're really in the zen zone. So you've had trauma in your life. You're basically running from your life.
Yeah.
And so when we're in that state of mind, I'll give you an even simpler. Dr. John Conley is a brilliant, brilliant man. I have to say his name because he is a complete innovating, like his way of thinking is awesome. So to put it really simple, let's say you have a rabbit and it's enjoying its carrot. It's really having fun. It's, you know, enjoying the carrot. It's a beautiful day. And then they look back and they see a dog running after them. What's going to happen? They turn into fight or flight, fear. They get strong. They're running. They're running for their life. They're not going to think about the carrot at that moment.
Right.
They're just thinking, I need to survive.
Right.
So yeah. Our mind is like that. Our mind is also like that. I need to survive. You know, the thing with animals is that they can kick it off when it's done. When the dog runs the other way, rabbit gets back and it's like, okay, well, let's continue eating my carrot. But us humans, we don't.
Yeah.
It becomes imprinted in our minds and we stay in as if we're still living that story.
Yeah.
So how can you think positive or how can you see inspiration when you're in fight or flight?
You can't. You can't.
No. I have to be exactly, because you're like, oh, I'm like this all the time. I'm not going to think about what I want for dinner.
Yeah.
Think about what I want for my future. Yeah, exactly. So it's really weird how to explain it, but it makes most sense when you explain it that way to my client or to anybody who's asking me about RRT is that's what it's like.
Yeah.
You know, we're teaching our subconscious and I'm going into your subconscious and your unconscious to say, hey, the story's done.
Yeah.
You can move on. You know, rip that movie. It's done. And you can see the client just kind of, wow, I didn't even know I was holding on to that. Of course you didn't, because it's in your subconscious.
Yeah. And it takes like multiple, like therapy, multiple, like you really have to calm that vagus and central nervous system.
Correct.
Down.
And it can happen in a matter of one session in 60 minutes. I could bring you to from fight or flight to really letting go of your trauma. It's that powerful. It's really incredible. He does amazing work, and I'm so glad to be working with him. To you know, I'm a facilitator, and I'm continuing my studies to be a specialist. Yeah. It's just really, it works well with my clients. It works well with myself too.
Yeah,
you know. So I know you're going to ask me about that. So we kind of went into our.
We'll go in and talk a little bit about that then.
Yeah, I'm so excited about it. So basically that's what it is. Cause your next question, you were asking me, you know, understanding one's behavior is a critical aspect of personal growth. How do I guide my clients to better understand their actions and their motivations? With the training that I've had with, you know, as a self-love coach, with my own life experience, you know, and also for me, I feel I have a gift to see and hear things that people may not say. So I call myself a heart decoder, because a lot of times we'll say something, but we really mean another. And I'll say, is that what you were thinking? Or were you thinking blah, 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 blah? And they're like, oh, you know, and I say, well, that's what we need to work on. That's what we need to unblock, you know, not what you're telling me, because you're telling me what I want to hear. I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing something else in your heart that is deeper than that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not necessarily, even if it's a trauma, we don't break it down and talk about the feelings. We break it down to go into the mind. Boom. The story's gone. It's over. And then we use different modalities to tap into the mind. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the methods that I use that I found very, very useful to help clients really tap into who they are, you know? So it's incredible. I've seen amazing results with that.
So tell me a little bit about some of the results you've seen with your clients. I know, like, obviously confidentiality is important, but.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are there any stories or anything?
So I can give you an example of what I witnessed not too long ago. There's this woman who's been suffering from an injury for over 40 years. And she was also raped. And so she had been in pain for over 40 years. And she was actually walking with a walker. And John was working with this person and saying, hey, you know, basically brought her to 40 years ago and asked her if it was okay to think of herself as being pain-free, to think of herself as being able to live a life where she can wake up in the morning and feeling lighter in her body. And it was not okay. If she thought that was going to be okay, that meant that her rape was going to be okay. And she didn't think that it was okay.
Yeah.
So if I don't think that something that happened to me is okay, I can't move past that.
Yeah.
So I have to go back to that event. For example, I could easily tell you, Alicia, don't wear your green top this morning. What would you say to me?
And why not?
But listen to my question. Don't wear your green top this morning.
But it's this afternoon now.
Exactly.
Right.
So what happened before, you can't change it.
Yeah.
So by holding on to the outcome, go back 40 years ago to change something today. Yeah. It's not possible. Just like I've asked you, don't wear that green top this morning. You're like, it's this afternoon. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. And so that breaks the pattern of the subconscious holding on to that. There's something I should have done, because we add meaning. Maybe I should have been there. I should have not been there. Maybe I should have brought a friend. We add meaning to the trauma, and it becomes this big old movie that we have a hard time letting go of.
Yeah.
So that's my job, to work with a client and helping her stop that movie, and letting her unconscious know, because I know you're conscious, you know that you're doing something, but you just don't know that your unconscious is making you do something. For example, when I mean the unconscious, you're sitting on the couch and all of a sudden you're hungry. Well, your unconscious wanted you to eat. So it created a feeling or a sensation for you to feel hungry and then take action, eat. Because your mind only wants to do wants you to do something to survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I know I'm going way deep in it, but for me to explain this is just so I was blown away when I started to learn about rapid resolution therapy, because it was just so something I'm like, oh my God, I needed this like 20 million years ago, you know, when I had my own traumas. And this is why I feel so strongly to always continue my education with that, because it's just so important in my practice and in my spiritually smarter path that I help others, you know, tap into that in their unconscious and just, you know, release it.
Yeah. It's amazing what's in our subconscious until we go there.
Mm-hmm.
We come up with the courage. It takes a lot of courage to go there. So I don't want to tell people like, oh, you just go to, it takes courage.
So let me tell you that I disagree, because it's my job to go into your subconscious.
Okay.
So if you and I were working together, it's my intention to create a change in you. You have nothing to do but to just sit there, listen to me, to breathe. It's my responsibility to make your mind shift.
Yeah.
So whether you're afraid or not, I think courage might, let's maybe use willingness.
Okay. That's a better word. Yeah.
Willingness will give you the courage.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when we work together, my clients don't really have anything to do but to just let me work with their minds by doing different modalities that we're trained on. And so they're like, that's it. Okay. You know, it's really fascinating. So.
Yeah. That's so cool. So finally, for someone feeling stuck or overwhelmed by toxic thoughts, what first step would you recommend to begin their journey towards a more loving and heart-centered life?
Well, as a busy woman, we think that we'll die if we're not productive.
Oh,
we're going to lose our, you know, people are going to forget about us. So did that. My advice is to clear your schedule day or two and forget the outcome. What's going to happen if I do that? Invite stillness in your mind. Invite stillness. And of course, thoughts are going to come in, and thoughts that you don't even know will come up. Again, unconscious mind.
Yeah.
But the more you're conscious that you're unconscious, and the more the unconscious is conscious that you're conscious of the unconscious, you'll invite stillness. And then play the song, I Will Survive, because you won't die. You won't die if you're not productive. For me, I found most of my magic moments, or my God shots, I called them, when I was in stillness, mm-hmm. you know, and then breathe, and then send me an email and say, hey, I want to work with you, you know, because I love doing that. I love to see women thrive with who they truly are. And they go, oh my God, I feel so free, because it's such a freeing, you can breathe deeply, you know, even in the situation that you're in, that you think you can't get out of. As soon as you tap into yourself, you have the tools to deal with what you're in, because it comes from a genuine heart. And there's nothing scary about that, because it's either fear or love. I've never seen love create hurt unless you were afraid of something.
That's beautiful. That's, yeah. That's obviously, that's beautiful. That spot on. Spot on.
And so as soon as you don't feel a love, you're in your mind and you're feeling a fear. You know, do I have challenges in my life? Oh, yeah, everybody does.
You're human.
But I deal with them in a way that is more centered.
Yeah.
You know, and I take time for decisions. you know, I have my meeting with my CSO in the morning going, all right, this is what I'm thinking of. Is that a good idea? Not a good idea? Or, you know, so.
Well, thank you so much for all your knowledge and information. And this has just been such a great, great, great conversation.
I'm glad I really had a good time.
Put my thoughts in different perspectives too. I'm sure our listeners are going to be